And we are going to go on to the very last case today, and that is 053216, USA versus Howard. Ms. Bierma.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the Court, my name is Erica Bierma, and I'm appearing on behalf of the defendant, Anthony Howard. The only issue before this Court today was whether Mr. Howard's sentence, 58 months above the top of the advisory guideline range, is unreasonable. This Court has said that its standard of review is reviewing the resulting sentence for unreasonable in light of the 3553A factors in United States versus Castro-Juarez. And this Court has also said recently in United States versus Dean that the farther that the judge's sentence departs from the guideline sentence, the more compelling the justification must be based on the factors in 3553A. And in light of providing guidance for the Court of Appeals to assess the reasonableness of the sentence. And in looking at the record, Mr. Howard was sentenced to 58 months above the top of his guideline range. This guideline range, or
how
the
50—how many did you say?
58 months.
Wasn't it 53?
It was 293 months, and his guideline range was 180 to 235. And the sentence within the guideline range would have been a sufficient sentence, but not greater than necessary, as provided
I
for.
I think that's 53, though.
Perhaps my math is wrong, Your Honor, but 53 months above the top of the advisory guideline range. And departing for the 53 months was based on uncertainty in the record. There was a statement by his co-defendant of Shane Bradley, who was vague and unsure whether or not he provided the alleged fatal dose of the heroin to Tallard, either himself directly or by way of Mr. Howard. The government acknowledges the equivocation in Bradley's statement about where the alleged fatal dose may have come from. The government also acknowledges the involvement of two possible other individuals that the fatal dose could have come from. At the time of Mr. Tallard's overdose, he was using approximately two or three times per day, and there's a high likelihood that that fatal dose could have come from one of those two other individuals that are mentioned in the pre-sentence report.
Of course, now, Judge Shabazz did conclude that a sentence within the guideline range would be insufficient in light of the Section 3553 factors, such as the need for deterrence. And he went quite deep into Howard's history and circumstances and said, you know,
he does look at the specific characteristics of Mr. Howard, and he does discuss Mr. Howard's criminal history, but it does appear as though from the record that Judge Shabazz does base the enhancement or the increased guideline range based on the overdose of Mr. Tallard. I mean, the court does characterize Mr. Howard as a bad guy, and he does acknowledge that he does have an extensive criminal history, but as I said, I mean, it looks like he's using Mr. Tallard's overdose as the determining factor of how he got 53
What specificity does the judge need to find that he has either total or some responsibility for the death of this fellow who overdosed?
Well, in looking at the pre-sentence report, I mean, the U.S. probation agent had reviewed all of the discovery in this case, and the U.S. probation agent was unable to conclude.
Yeah, no, they didn't recommend it, but the judge isn't found it. By the way, I think you're right on 58 months. For what it's worth.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
I just believe that there should be more specificity in how the correlation between the drug dealing activities, the transactions that were alleged to have occurred, and how they got to the point. I mean, it's the government's burden to prove by a preponderance that, you know, that Mr. Howard had something to do with Mr. Tallard's overdose. But when you have Mr. Tallard using two to three times per day, Mr. Howard and Mr. Bradley not being the sole sources of heroin in the Western District of Wisconsin.
But as long as you're a source of, and somebody dies, isn't that? I don't. Where is the line? that you draw here.
Which bean broke the back of the camel?
Well, I mean, with all due respect, Your Honor, I mean, Mr. Tallard was actively using, and Mr. Howard and Mr. Bradley were not the only dealers. So to be more compelling evidence than they were drug dealers in the Western District of Wisconsin, and therefore they must have sold the fatal dose to Edwin Tallard.
Tallard's mother's letter, and it wasn't in the briefs, and I didn't see it in the record either, so maybe it isn't in the record. I wondered if that letter had a...
I wasn't the counsel at the trial level, and I do not have a copy of the record, but if you'd like me to submit a copy of the record, I would be happy to do so for this.
No, we have the record. We don't have the letter.
I believe that it was submitted at the time of sentencing, but... Also, as I was saying, that there wasn't any specific correlation between Mr. Howard and Tallard's death. There was no enhancement given in the pre-sentence report. Mr. Howard consistently denied knowing Tallard or knowing of Mr. Tallard. The government didn't argue at the time of sentencing for any kind of enhancement above the guideline range. And the U.S. probation agent conceded after reviewing all of the discovery in this case that they couldn't say with any certainty whether or not Mr. Howard, by way of Mr. Bradley or Mr. Howard directly, had anything to do with the overdose of Mr. Tallard. So, as such, we respectfully request that this matter be remanded back for resentencing consistent with the guidelines. Thank you.
Before leaping into your argument with full vigor, and this has nothing to do with the legal issues in the case, if I understand it correctly, he's serving concurrent time with a state prosecution, state conviction.
That is correct.
How many years did he get in the state?
I believe he got 22 years in the state.
And what do you get with this one?
He got 24 years.
So we're talking about two years plus.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Anderson. I'm the assistant U.S. attorney that represented the government in this case before the district court. With all due respect to counsel for the appellant, they focus almost entirely on the death of Eddie Tallard and ignore the significant criminal history of the defendant, Anthony Howard, that the court took into consideration and went into quite a bit of specificity in going through the 3553A factors. The court talked about Anthony Howard's criminal history, the fact that he had 20 criminal history points, which are 7 more points than one needs, even to get to criminal history 6, which is the top of the range. And I think it's important to note that the defense attorney for Mr. Howard at the time actually suggested a range near the top of a sentence near the top of the range.
Do you know why Bradley wasn't held accountable for Tallard's death?
Yes, Your Honor. The problem we faced in this case was to determine the actual nexus between the heroin that Mr. Tallard overdosed with and whether or not he got it from Anthony Howard or Shane Bradley. We knew that Shane Bradley got his heroin from Anthony Howard, and we knew that Eddie Tallard also got heroin from both Shane Bradley and Anthony Howard, but we couldn't show that the heroin that actually killed Eddie Tallard came either directly from Shane Bradley or through directly from Anthony Howard.
So that's why you didn't argue at sentencing that Howard should be held accountable for Tallard's death.
Right, and had the court made that finding...
That Bradley, just so... Bradley was not held responsible.
Right, had...
But you didn't argue that Howard should be held accountable either.
Correct. Right. Had the court found that either Shane Bradley or Anthony Howard were accountable for the death of Eddie Tallard, the guideline range for Anthony Howard would have been level 43, which would have been straight life.
I wanted to see the letter because I wondered if that... I wanted to see the mother's letter because I thought maybe that had a great effect on the judge.
Yeah, the judge saw the letter the morning of sentencing, and I would suggest it probably had some impact on the judge. But I think that there's much more than just Eddie Tallard's death, not to minimize his death. But when we go through the entire criminal history of Anthony Howard, and the court, if I may refer, the court said, I shall impose a sentence sufficient but not greater than necessary. The guideline top is not sufficient in this case. There is no question that regardless of the death which here occurred, because of that fact, there was the predator who was selling his wares with the attempt of overdosing as many people as would come in his vicinity. The court said that the sentencing guidelines in this case was woefully inadequate. Then the court talked about the fact about recidivism and pointed out that Mr. Howard in 1986 was sentenced to 3 years, in 88, 4 years, in 1990, 5 years, 1994, 7 years, and specifically found there was little hope for future deterrence and concluded we're here to protect the public from future crimes, which is part of the 35-53 factors. Then he graded Anthony Howard using those factors and said, if I were to grade Anthony Howard on an ABC grade, I'd grade him a Z. Once again, he took into consideration the 35-53 factors, noting that Anthony Howard's predatory conduct involved drug activity almost his entire life, not just talking about Eddie Tallard. Sold heroin to Shane Bradley more than 300 times in a 3 or 4 month period of time. And even after, and these are uncontroverted facts, there was no objection to these facts, even after Eddie Tallard had died, regardless of whether or not Anthony Howard directly provided that heroin, even after Eddie Tallard had died, Anthony Howard continued to sell heroin.
Now, Bradley's sentence was 70 months less than Howard's.
Correct.
Did the same judge, with Judge Shabazz, the sentencing
he did.
Judge in both cases?
Mm-hmm. He did.
And what was the criminal history of Bradley?
Bradley's criminal history was significant, but not nearly as significant as Anthony Howard. That was the distinguishing factor. It's important to note that once Anthony Howard was arrested, he continued to have his wife sell heroin while he's in jail to make bail money. Anthony Howard actually referred to his heroin as a bomb and bragged that it had dropped someone. Once again, the judge took into consideration the fact that during an eight-day period in 1999, Anthony Howard had his wife sell heroin for him and made $1,000 a day. And I think it's important to note that the judge was aware of the fact that when they executed the search warrant at Anthony Howard's residence, which is right across from Memorial High School in Madison, in addition to finding the usual drug paraphernalia, grinding, cutting agents, they found 203 gem packs of crack, 80 gem packs of heroin, thousands of empty gem packs, which is those little blue gem packs that they use for jewelry. But some of the heroin was actually stored in the refrigerator, which was available to the two kids that Anthony Howard left in the apartment. He had two kids. He left them in the apartment. One was 14 months, and the other was four years old. And they had access to the refrigerator where the heroin was stored.
I don't think the little one could have.
Pardon me?
I don't think the little one could have made it.
Perhaps not the 14-month-old. Your Honor, the district court sufficiently provided ample and compelling reasons for this sentence in compliance with 18 U.S.C. 3553A, and we believe that the judgment and conviction should be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Bierma.
Thank you, Your Honors. I have a few brief comments. As the government concedes, Bradley was not given the enhancement for Mr. Tallard's death. I mean, if they were supposed to be equally culpable, and if you look at their pre-sentence reports, neither one of them was given a role enhancement for their involvement with the other one. It creates a huge disparity of 70 months between similarly situated defendants. And also the government concedes that they couldn't meet the nexus of determining specifically whether the fatal dose was sold to Tallard by way of Bradley or by way of Howard through Bradley or if it came through Bradley directly. but also there was no cross-reference in the pre-sentence report recommended by the U.S. probation agents for causing death in the sale of a controlled substance or the use of controlled substance, either through 2D1.10 or 5K2.1. There weren't, because then that would bump up the mandatory guideline range to a life sentence. And also, Mr. Anderson just enumerated the type of nature of the discovery that was found in when they executed the search warrant. The U.S. probation agent went through all of that discovery when they wrote their report, and yet they still couldn't, they didn't recommend that Mr. Howard had something to do with Mr. Tallard's death. As such, we'd respectfully request that it be remanded back to the district court for resentencing. Thank you.
Ms. Bierma, were you appointed?
Yes, I was.
Well, you really have our thanks for the fine job you did for your client.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you to Ms. Anderson, of course, always.
Thank you.
And we will be in this. We're going home. And you go home, too.
You don't have to, of course. That's not an order.